It's Friday, November 11th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga. Paul Hoynes is off for the rest of the week, so we're going to dive in with the latest news and updates on the Guardians and Major League Baseball. Starting at the top with Jose Ramirez, the Guardians slugger, was named a Silver Slugger Award winner for the fourth time in his career on Thursday night. Ramirez, along with Andrés Giménez, were the two Guardians finalists for awards at their positions. Ramirez wins, takes home the Silver Slugger Award after a really an MVP caliber season, despite being hampered by a thumb injury for the majority of the campaign. Ramirez still put up season high or career high totals in runs batted in and really carried the Guardians offense, showed a lot of toughness throughout the year in, telling Terry Francona, hey, not only am I, not going to miss a significant amount of time by getting surgery on my injured thumb, but I'm going to be in the starting lineup tomorrow and, just try and stop me is sort of the way that he approaches it. A lot of praise for Ramirez just going into the season and what he was able to accomplish and the way that he was able to just sort of lead this young Guardians club offensively throughout the year. It was pretty impressive to watch. He becomes the second Cleveland player to win four Silver Slugger Awards. He ties Albert Bell for that honor. Bell won four from 1993 to 1996 for the club record. This season, Ramirez hit .280 with 44 doubles to lead the American League. He had five triples, 29 home runs, and his 126 RBIs were second in the American League to Aaron Judge, and like we said, a career high for him. It was the first batter since Lou Boudreau to lead the American League in doubles multiple times. Ramirez has just been on a tear over the last several years. And really, he hit, 331 with runners in scoring position, 346 with runners in scoring position, two outs. He finished eighth in the American League in wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference. And really, one of the more telling stats is 20 intentional walks issued to Ramirez throughout the year. That's the most in Major League Baseball. And he didn't get his first intentional walk until sometime in late May. There was a game where Kansas City, I believe, intentionally walked him twice in his first two at-bats of the game. They didn't even let him hit his first two plate appearances. And the last time a Cleveland batter was walked twice intentionally in his first two plate appearances, that was Terry Francona back in 1987. So it was pretty impressive, that Tito actually had a stat that matched something that Jose Ramirez did. Since 2016, position players, according to FanGraphs WAR, Mike Trout leads 43.6 WAR, Mookie Betts 43.5 WAR, and right behind them is Jose Ramirez 39.5 F WAR. So just an all-around impressive campaign for Jose Ramirez, for him to come through and win that Silver Slugger Award. He was denied a Gold Glove. He was the only Guardians finalist denied a Gold Glove Award, but certainly a two-way player, and the way he runs the bases, just everything you're looking for in a superstar to lead the Guardians for sure. As far as Giménez goes, Giménez lost out on the Silver Slugger in the American League to Jose Altuve. Altuve certainly, a guy who's done it before. I believe this is his sixth Silver Slugger Award at second base in the American League. However, Giménez certainly put together the kind of year that could have taken down Jose Altuve and knocked him off of that pedestal. Giménez hit .297. With an .837 OPS, He had 17 home runs, 69 RBIs, 20 steals, and, you know, just an all-around really great offensive sort of breakout year for him. He had an OPS plus of 141 compared to Altuve, who had a 160 OPS plus, and that's when that's a league average stat. So 100 is the league average. So anything over 100 is pretty good. And you know, 160 was Altuve's OPS plus. Jimenez right there at 141. You talk about some of the advanced stats. Just compare the two. There's a bunch of win probability marks that you know, sort of favor Altuve because of the power numbers that he's able to put up. But just the situational hitting and hitting in the clutch. I wanted to point out a number from Baseball Reference, just in comparison head to head the two of them. The win probability added clutch stat. The difference between, you know, it's context dependent. Win probability added. Andrés Giménez had a 1.9, where zero is average. Andrés Giménez had a 1.9 and Jose Altuve negative 0.5, meaning in clutch situations, Jose Giménez certainly batting after the seventh inning and later was much more efficient and much more valuable at the plate than Jose Altuve. Now, you know, it's a small sample size. It's one season. Obviously, Altuve over a career could probably, you know, put together some pretty impressive numbers. But this past season, Andrés Giménez was as clutch a hitter in the late innings of a game as anybody in the American League, and certainly any second baseman in the American League. One of the reasons why I think he should deserve, you know, good, strong consideration for that Silver Slugger Award. It went to Altuve, and, you know, maybe he's on the sort of the backside of a career as opposed to, you know, on the rise there. Giménez was the all-star at the position because Altuve was hurt. Started the game, made a brilliant defensive play. We haven't heard the last of Andrés Giménez at, you know, second base in the American League. Certainly a two-way player, defense as well. So the Gold Glove winner at the position. So we'll look for what's next for Andrés Giménez. Certainly coming up short behind Altuve in this Silver Slugger race. You know, no shame in that. There's more opportunities and more awards to be won down the line, including the All MLB team, All Major League Baseball roster is up for nominations. The voting is going on right now online. The nominees were announced yesterday. The Guardians have five nominees at their positions for these All MLB awards, sort of like the All Pro in football. But this is not based on conference or not based on AL or NL. This is a league wide award, so they're going to pick one per position. There will be two teams, a first team and a second team. So you could have, you know, two National League second basemen, or, you know, two American League first basemen on the first team and the second team. But Jose Ramirez at third base, Andrés Giménez at second base, Stephen Kwan in left field, Shane Bieber starting pitcher, and Emmanuel Clase all nominated as All MLB candidates. Certainly Bieber and Clase should be among those selected. There will be five starting pitchers chosen per team, and I believe three relief pitchers per team. So there's a pretty good chance that Bieber and Class A earn at least first or second team honors on that. And who knows, Ramirez certainly should garner some consideration. I would assume Nolan Arenado at third base would get one of those two spots. But Jose Ramirez, a guy who can definitely grab one of those honors. The voting will be comprised 50% of a fan online vote and 50% from a panel of experts who will meet to select the winner of those awards. That will be announced December 5th. Voting runs now through November 22nd online at MLB.com. So go out there and vote for Guardians favorites, Jose Ramirez, Andrés Giménez, Stephen Kwan, Shane Bieber, and Emmanuel Clase, all worthy candidates for the MLB first and second team honors as they go through the season. Certainly, Kwan up for the Platinum Glove Award. I know right now there's a event going on in New York City. Miles Straw and Andrés Giménez are attending the Rawlings Awards there in New York. The Platinum Glove will be announced tonight, Friday, in New York. Kwan, certainly one of the favorites to sort of take home that honor in the American League. There could be others, Jose Trevino, Jeremy Pena, guys who would probably garner consideration as well. That award will be announced tonight along with the Gold Glove Team Award. I should think that the Guardians are pretty much a lock for the Gold Glove Team Award with four winners at their positions from last week when it was announced that the Guardians had four Gold Glove winners, Kwan, Straw, Giménez, and Bieber all taking home the honors. Got to believe that the Guardians will win the Team Award for the second time since its inception in 2020. We'll watch for that announcement tonight. All ongoing, next week begins the award sort of season for the BBWAA. The four major awards will be announced in each league beginning Monday with the Rookie of the Year Award. Stephen Kwan, a finalist there, followed Tuesday by Manager of the Year Award. Terry Francona, a finalist there in the American League, along with Brandon Hyde and Scott Servais. Then you've got Cy Young and MVP, pretty much locks in the American League. I think you can write the story and get it ready to print that Justin Verlander and Aaron Judge will win the Cy Young and MVP in the American League, respectively. Certainly Shane Bieber and Jose Ramirez could find their way onto a few ballots in those races. It would be interesting to see when the votes are revealed if Bieber or Class A did get any votes in the Cy Young, and just exactly where voters put Jose Ramirez in their top 10 for the American League, because I don't think any ballot would be complete without Jose in one of those 10 spots moving forward. So that brings us to the current state of Major League Baseball. The hot stove is starting to heat up, and with the general managers meetings wrapping up in Las Vegas, you've got really the beginning of this whole free agent frenzy and the ability for teams to start signing players is going to happen over the weekend. Robert Suarez is in agreement with the Padres on a deal to make him a late inning setup guy for Josh Hader out there. That deal has already been announced. We did have a trade yesterday. The Pirates acquired G-Man Choi from Tampa Bay. So a very popular player from the Rays heading to Pittsburgh. So all, those are sort of the low-level moves and not real headline grabbers. There were 14 players who were tendered the qualifying offer. They have until this Tuesday at 4 p.m. to accept their one-year $19.65 million contracts. Otherwise, they are unencumbered not exactly unencumbered. The team that would be signing them would be quite encumbered with compensatory draft picks and penalties for signing these players who have these who have turned down the qualifying offers, not expecting more than one or two players to accept those qualifying offers during this offseason. So we'll keep an eye on that. The big name, obviously, at least early on in free agency, is going to be Aaron Judge, as he decides where he will play in 2022 and, or 2023 and beyond, whether he returns to the Yankees, who sort of remain the, I guess, the sentimental and, you know, overwhelming favorites to land Judge in free agency, to sort of keep him there. But the Yankees have been, you know, exploring and you know, looking at moves and the possibility that, that Judge signs somewhere else. He's linked very heavily to the San Francisco Giants. Could be a situation where, you know, a California guy goes back to the West Coast and heads that way. So if Judge does jump to San Francisco, or, you know, even if the Dodgers make a play for him, the Yankees are exploring Japanese slugger Masataka Yoshida as a possibility to replace him in the outfield. This is a guy who has hit for power and hit for power for a while in Japan. So the Yankees have at least expressed interest in that. One of the other big names on the free agent board right now, with 160 players in free agency, Jacob DeGrom, who opted out of the remainder of his contract with the Mets. He has been linked to the Rangers as a possibility to go there and you know, pick up big money. Obviously, the Rangers spent $500 million in the offseason last year, and it didn't produce the kind of results that they were hoping it would. But if they're able to land DeGrom, that would be another step in sort of bulking up their roster and their payroll. So a lot of possibilities there. But there are many other names on the block here in terms of free agency. You know, Dansby Swanson in Atlanta. Where is that shortstop going to end up? Seems to be linked to the Dodgers if he's not interested in coming back to the Braves. But I got to believe that the Braves are going to push hard to keep one of their homegrown guys there. Real interesting one would be Trey Turner. Obvious needs in New York with the Yankees at shortstop, but this is a guy who, you know, could sign anywhere. Could sign with the Giants. He lives in Florida. He could sign with the Marlins. Who knows? But the interesting rumor would be the Phillies, who have a big need at shortstop as well. Trey Turner, one of the smoothest players in the game right now, so. And when you've got John Hamm narrating your hype video online, the teams that are interested in Trey Turner don't need a video narrated by John Hamm from Mad Men to sort of keep them interested in Trey Turner. They're already interested in him, but it's just pretty big flex, pretty cool move by Turner to get that. And you know, watching that video, how could you not like everything you see out of the kid? To come and be the face of your franchise, at you know, at what cost? Probably quite a bit. Shohei Ohtani, where is he going to end up? The Angels have said that they don't intend to trade him this season. That you know, they signed him for the big $33 million you know, contract for the year, and it looks like they're not dealing him at any time, but. But who knows if a package presents itself by the trade deadline? Maybe he doesn't finish the year with the Angels. Where's Justin Verlander going to end up? Verlander opted out of his contract, the remainder of his deal with the Astros. We could see him anywhere in the National League. He's never really pitched in the National League. Maybe the Cardinals are a possibility there. This is a guy who's been around forever, and the Cardinals have a good culture and a good you know, reputation for extending the careers of veteran pitchers like Justin Verlander. And then you've got Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop in Boston, you know, whether or not Boston lets Bogaerts get away, he could go to a place like Seattle. Maybe they have an interest there, but chances are pretty good that Bogaerts will be leaving Boston. I think there's a lot of issues between Bogaerts and the Red Sox there to overcome. And where's Carlos Correa going to end up? You've got Trey Turner, you've got Xander Bogaerts, and then you've got Carlos Correa, all top-tier shortstops, all looking for a new home. Correa really shocked the world last year when he signed the deal with the Twins that he subsequently opted out of. You know, I'm pretty much guaranteeing you that Carlos Correa ends up on a big market team, possibly the Yankees, possibly you know, he winds up in LA with the Dodgers. But what I can tell you is he's not going to wind up signing with a small market team like, again, like the Twins. He's not going to end up in a place like Baltimore or, you know, Pittsburgh or something like that. This is Carlos Correa looking for the biggest dollar, and just the way he talks about it, he's going after it. And, you know, what about not necessarily even free agents, but, you know, guys who are trade chips right now, and that's when that's where the Guardians sort of come in. What deals can the Guardians make if they're looking to make moves? If they're looking to package possibly a Shane Bieber or a Zach Plesac or you know, any one of their major league ready pitchers for a position player of some sort of experience, a right-handed power bat or a veteran catcher that can hit. You know, these are the moves that they need to make, but that aren't always easy to make. And with Bieber, having 2 years of arbitration eligibility, his price is only going to go up in the next couple of seasons. So it'll be interesting to see what the Guardians do with Shane Bieber. All right. If you haven't already signed up for Cleveland Guardians subtext here on Cleveland.com, go to Cleveland.com/subtext. Click on Hoynsey's face. $3.99 a month gets you updates throughout the hot stove season. Every bit of information that we get, we pass along to you as quickly as possible, along with our insights. And it's the easiest way to get your questions answered on the air here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast on a pretty much three times a week basis while the off-season is going on. I look forward to getting back together with you guys on Monday. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from Hoynsey by then, get an update on how he's doing. And we will talk to you again here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.